Well, I guess we're going to say or name this segment Up, Up, and Away. My name is Jeffrey Davis. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. And thanks to our friends at MTP Software for building us this spectacular state-of-the-art studio. Our next guest, excuse me, something in my throat, Tuan Ho, CEO and co-founder, ScholarJet.
Yes.
What is a ScholarJet?
ScholarJet is essentially a reward that you get, but also a job that you get when you apply through a skills-based competition that is sponsored by tech companies through our platform. Basically, the whole concept revolves around the fact that if you apply to job via resumes for tech companies, especially, is that you tend to get overlooked based on what you can actually do. And so in this day and age, you know, the rise of the influencer marketing and YouTube becoming a thing, the next generation of talents is essentially our doers and creators who want an enriching and rewarding and fun experience overall in every single aspect that they're doing. But when it comes to applying for a job, they are submitting resumes and never hear back from their employers, or tend to get a reply as saying that they are not qualified for the role when they are actually qualified. And for the employers, and if you zoom out and taking a look at how much venture capital is being poured in to create more and more tech companies, there's going to be a huge demand for tech jobs, but there's not going to be enough people to be working for these companies. And so that's why 72% of recruiters are saying that they can't find relevant talent, but in reality, they are overlooking the talent that we already have. And so that number should be much, much lower.
You know, probably the most, yeah, as a management consultant, and you know, for those who don't know that I am a management consultant, I would say the most common comment I get from entrepreneurial leaders over the last 18 months to 2 years is, I can't find great people. And you're saying, you're smiling and laughing. You're saying you've sort of figured out that paradigm.
Yes. Essentially,
I mean, there's only, you know, it's supply and demand. There's only so many out there. And good employees don't usually change jobs because they're golden handcuffs.
Right. And then later on, they're going to become an expensive line item to keep around.
Yes, they do become overly expensive. Yes, there is a cost benefit. I always warn employees.
Yes.
You've been here a long time and your salary can be replaced.
Exactly. One guy who is getting paid, say, $500,000 to be doing a job that one very young person can now replace. And then if you
could get two young people.
Yes. And so that type of salary can divide up into 10 additional new candidates into the door, and overall maintaining that healthy pipeline of talent. And so,
yeah, but how do you, what's the special sauce that you have that makes it so that you can find the resource talent that others are not finding?
The special sauce that we have is essentially sort of like a competitive advantage too, is because of the team. My team have an average age of probably 25 years old. And because we're very relatively young, we grew up from underserved communities. And I'm starting to see people who don't have a lot, but worked really hard and have special type of talent that no one really recognizes. And so they are essentially being overlooked. And we were able to see and understand what actually sparks those talents in these people. How can we make things more exciting and fun for them? Because applying for jobs shouldn't be taking another SAT exam, right? And so throughout the first 22 or 23 years of a person's life, you're going through school and it's, you know, you're dreading school, and it's rarely that you're really enjoying school. But the type of teachers who understand how to really teach makes the experience more fun, right? And so if we can bring fun into the aspects when it comes to applying for a job, then you can really bring out the creativity out of people. So you see so many YouTubers creating robots and rebuilding cars and making great things. Like, they said, screw off to the corporations. I want to do my own stuff because I don't want to go through your BS. Right? And so if you're continuing to offer BS, you're going to get BS results. And so if you're not listening to what the people want or really paying close attention, it's like the older you get, you start to feel disconnected from the next generation. It's because the technology gap. It's not about what how people are changing. It's about the technology that has created this change and how hard it is to see the connections. It's because the boomers are the ones that are essentially saying, I want this, I want that. But Gen Z and millennials are saying, well, I don't want what you want.
No, they do. They want something totally different.
Exactly. And so in order to really, really capture what they got, you have to stay close to the ground. You have to be enjoying Snapchat and TikTok. And I'm saying that, and the expression in your face is just basically telling me that I don't understand the value of why these people are doing it, right?
No, so, I do. I just, you're...
Right. And so...
I'm not a TikTok guy.
Yes. And so the next generation is going to jump on board for these new things, and you have to understand why.
Right. Right. Because their parents aren't on it. They want their own place.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of people leave Facebook. They don't want to be where their parents are.
Yep.
What's your background?
Various things, but essentially the short version is that I'm an immigrant from Vietnam. I came to US when I was 10, sort of like have a single mom, grew up very poor in an underserved community of Boston, went to a Boston Public High School, got accepted into Northeastern University, wasn't able to pay for it because it cost $40,000 a year in 2013. Now it costs $70,000 a year, so see.
And that could be one of the cheaper schools.
Yes. And so when my mom was making about $20,000 a year, I was like, oh, wow, there's no way I could pay for this. And what I had to do was I wrote 120 essays to apply for 40 scholarships. And I was very fortunate to earn almost $500,000 worth of scholarships. So I
good
went
for
to
you.
Northeastern on full
ride. Good for you. What yeah. an entrepreneur.
So sort of like through the same, I went to Northeastern studying mechanical engineering because I thought I was going to build my own Iron Man suit. And 2013 was when Iron Man 3 came out, so it was right. exciting.
Did you build it?
Sort of like a cardboard cutout, but ultimately,
did you go to Comic-Con as Iron Man?
No. Okay. I was just doing it for Halloween.
Okay.
But I slowly realized that I wanted to work with people more than I wanted to work with machines. Mm. I wanted to essentially enabling the machine to help people, essentially.
Right.
And so during a stint of a co-op that I was working as a manufacturing engineer, I read 200 books within 6 months and taught myself psychology, business, entrepreneurship, etc., and was a realized that the education system that I went through has failed me, and that growing up poor, you didn't have the specialized education, or you didn't realize a lot of different things that these books were telling me. And I read a whole bunch of biographies of successful people and what they were able to achieve because they knew certain things that other people didn't. And so I basically put all that knowledge to work and started to tap into resources and sort of like understanding to let myself say this, that I would not allow myself get into the way of my success. And that enabled me to grow as a person ever since.
What a very nice story. Well, it's better that you wanted to go to, get the Iron Man suit, because if you would have done the Aladdin suit, you wouldn't be able to run for Prime Minister of Canada, because that's taking him down. Tuan, if somebody's, I don't know if you've seen those pictures.
Yeah, Tuan, I've seen it.
Yeah. He saw the Aladdin movie, so he dressed up as Aladdin, so he's now in trouble. Tuan, if someone wants to find you at ScholarJet, and clearly you're a very dedicated person, very focused on what you want to do, results-oriented person, and give you a lot of compliments, how would they find you?
Well, you can email me, and believe it or not, I don't get enough emails even when I put the emails in public, mostly cold sales emails from other people who are trying to sell me things. But if you want advice, just reach out to me, tuan@scholarjet.com. Or if you are actually are looking for your entry-level jobs, make an account at scholarjet.com, and you'll be able to get access to all of our skills-based competitions.
And since you're a real entrepreneur, will you come back again?
Absolutely.
Great. That's what we like to talk to, entrepreneurs. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Remind everybody, my name is Jeffrey Davis. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. And we're going to take a break, and we're going to We're going to try to come back with somebody half as good as Tuan after this break.